Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of Movie of the Week. I'm Dan.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Zach.
And you can join us. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Bring into the studio with us. You can also hit us up on our live chat on Twitch at WikiCuriosity Media. You can also find us on Facebook. We're not live streaming on Facebook, but you can find us on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show, also WikiCuriosity Media. Hit up our YouTube channel, WikiCuriosity Media. You can download and listen to all of our archived shows at blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosityMedia. And you can also find them on iTunes. And find us on TikTok at Wicked_Angel. And we are back for another Sunday night. We did not have a show last Sunday because it was Easter, obviously. And then the Sunday previous to that, I was laid up on the couch, doped up on Percocet.
Enjoying the good life.
No, no. There was no good life to be had with that at all. No, that was the worst 3 days, 4 days I have experienced in a very, very long time. Definitely not something I ever want to experience again. Not something I would ever want anybody to experience. So, yeah, that was not fun at all. I did not enjoy that. We're back tonight. Yeah, I'm glad to be back on the air.
Same. It's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a couple days. I was on the air on Wednesday. But for Movie of the Week, it's been almost 3 weeks.
Yeah.
2 whole weeks since we have not broadcast. So, anyway. Trying to think. I don't think I had anything interesting going on between Wednesday and Sunday.
Wednesday was a good day. Wednesday was a really good day.
I don't know. I worked Wednesday, and then I was on the air, I believe.
No.
Did I work?
That's Thursday. We went out for lunch.
That's right. I did not. Okay. Yeah. No, I did not work Wednesday. And yes, we were supposed to meet up for lunch. You, me, and Miss Angel. But, and I don't know if I told you this on Wednesday, Alex. There's a place down here,
the Burgers?
Yeah, down the street from us called The Burgers. It's a burger joint, obviously. And it's got really good burgers.
I hope so.
And, we were all supposed to meet up Wednesday around 1:15, 1:30. to go eat, you know, to have a little bit of lunch and stuff. He'd never been and, wanted to take the wife out. So it was like, you know, two birds.
One bird.
Yeah. So with Angel and I arrive a little bit early. We get there about 1 o'clock. And we sit in the car for a minute. And we're like, okay, you know, about 1:15, 1:30, that's cool. No, we sat in the car for about 5 minutes or so. And we went in and ordered us an appetizer. Waiting for you to get there.
I got there.
Messaged you at, like, I don't know, 10 after or so, 15 after.
I thought you were about 10 or 15.
Yeah. I was like, hey, you on your way? You're like, yeah, I'm leaving now. No, you messaged me saying I'm leaving now. Cool. Literally 10 minutes down the street.
It's not 15 minutes down the street, bro.
You're 5 minutes away from me. And that place is like, okay, I'll give you 15 minutes.
So 45 minutes is when I should have been there.
Yeah, 25-30 is the time frame that I was giving you. I wasn't even giving you till 35 for traffic. No, do you know what time this motherfucker showed up? 1:58.
My car broke down.
Your car did not break down. 1:58. The look on Miss Angel's face when you finally pulled up was not one of I'm enjoying myself.
She had a blast. What are you talking about?
I have OCD. I really don't do well in schedule changes happen.
1:58 when he decided to
grace him with my presence.
Yeah. You should have a set of headphones.
I would say I had a valid reason.
There was no valid reason.
I tried to say
I wish I had one valid reason whatsoever.
I was just late. That place was really good, though.
It was. I'm not going to lie.
That place has the absolute best onion rings of any place I've ever gone to, ever.
Yeah. That's what I was telling Jerry. I said, make sure Scrap don't skip on fries.
No. They don't at all.
Yeah, I want a side of fries. You expect to get maybe just, you know, one little help, and then that's it. This is like, they stick the basket down there.
Yeah. Are you?
I'm muted.
Your camera's not on.
I know. I'm going to come back.
Okay.
But now after that, it was a great day.
Yeah. Great burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Great chili cheese fries that you saw the remnants of after we ate them the whole hour waiting for you.
Told you, like 58 minutes, bro. Went for a nice little drive afterwards, buy some more gas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm muted.
Okay, cool. All right, we are up and running now. I know nobody, you know, that's listening to us, all of the people that are listening to us can't see us.
Right.
But we all are up and running in our video section now. Probably your daughter or him.
I bought those the other day. Is that Aldi?
I don't know. I saw it from my sister's.
So I got those the other day for the kids from Aldi. They're like 40 cents.
They're cheap, but they're good. I'm not sure what the frost is.
It's the same thing as the ice.
Okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, no, the burgers is expensive.
It can be a bit pricey.
But they have amazing food.
I think they make up for their money loss, or the money price, the fries. Like, the burger's only $5, but we're going to give you $10 for the fries.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, the onion rings that I got, that was just a regular order. I tell him all the time, like, I don't know what I would do with a large because I would die.
She would eat them all.
I only eat half of what I have, what I'm there, then either that night or the next day is when I finish it. Like, but they have the best chicken. I don't think I've even had it there. I've only had chicken.
I don't know.
Was it sunny side up or whatever?
Yeah, had the egg on top. Yeah.
Skip to the
toe. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That's some of the best food you'll ever eat is a hole-in-the-wall restaurants.
Well, they've got a couple. It's a chain. They've got a couple around
there's
here.
There's one in Knoxville.
Yeah.
There's one in Knoxville. That says everything you need to know. I mean, McDonald's / Taco Bell's are in Knoxville. About 80, 90?
Probably.
Pushing 100?
There's as many McDonald's as there are Weigels.
I think even one better. How many Waffle Houses are in Knoxville?
There it is. How many Waffle... Listen, here's the thing. I don't ever eat at Waffle House because it gives me a stomach ache. But every time my mom comes into town, I'm from a little, like, itty-bitty town in Oklahoma. There is not chain restaurants. There's nothing like that.
Right.
So every time she comes here, she's like, let's go to Waffle House. Yeah. Why not IHOP?
Yeah, IHOP. I'd much rather IHOP.
Or Denny's. There's one Denny's that I know of, at least, in Knoxville.
I guess you got to show me this thing. Or they got a business.
Shoney's is okay.
Their breakfast was bacony.
I mean, if we go to the buffet and all I have to do is load up on biscuits, gravy, and a plate full of bacon, we're fine. Free bacon? Whoa. I can eat $10 worth of bacon easily. That's like 5 slices, and I ate 10, so fuck you.
Right? So how was your week, Alex? For the rest of your week?
It was okay.
What do you got going on, Alex?
Nothing. That's why it's okay.
Anything new happening in your life?
No, not really.
Nothing you'd like to share with the class?
Nope. I played a fabulous game of D&D on Friday night.
That
possibly
was
one of
really
the
good.
Best. One of the best I've played.
It was. It definitely was. It was nail biting. Because
here's the thing.
I was literally 1 point away from dying.
Again?
Yes.
Here's the thing. As a mom, bonus mom, stepmom, however you want to put it, like, when I start getting into my character, I definitely have moments where I'm like, I really hope that this is not coming off like, wow, she's a bitch. I knew I didn't like you.
So the thing is,
I was pissed.
That's
night.
Survival mode.
The thing is, we have this unspoken rule in D&D. It was actually kind of put out by the DM, but we have this unspoken rule in D&D. Once you sit down at that table, you are no longer you. You're your character.
You're not affiliated with anybody.
Your character. So if your character is pissed off at this other character, it does not translate into real life.
Well, I just, like, real life cannot translate
into
D&D.
D&D.
Like, if
right.
I'm pissed off at you, that cannot show during the game.
No.
I'm going to decapitate you. Why are you looking?
But I was not pissed off at Alex. I was pissed off at his character.
Your character was pissed off at his character.
Yeah.
And the thing is, without metagaming or breaking rules, is I sort of planned it that way. I knew it was coming. And I have plans and a work for my character. But
I don't know
that
anybody expected that kind of reaction. I was pissed.
Did you die or something?
I was
expecting that reaction out of another character. But I was expecting the reaction.
What reaction were you expecting out of what character?
Well, I expected the events that transpired to go down. I just didn't know what characters those certain events were going to affect.
Okay.
I knew somebody was going to get fucked up in some way. Who that somebody was, I don't know. It was either going to be me, Einar, or you. It was you.
Literally,
it was you.
The longest playing character in this campaign.
Yeah, because I died once already.
I have been
I've been that character for, like, 2-3 years. Like, I built this character. She was super cool, nice, sweet, friendly, whatever.
Right.
Which I'm not that now. But when she died, it was horribly violent, and literal tears happened among multiple people at the table, even the DM. Like, he was not expecting things to happen the way they happened, and I died instantly, which never happens in a game.
Let me ask you a question. Was it worse than him? Because whenever he died, we heard about it at work like a week straight.
Oh, it was way worse than him. It wasn't a week straight of hearing about it. It was that night. Every person
so
was emotional.
The reason why, okay, so I was playing two campaigns. The other campaign.
Yeah.
The reason why you heard about it is because it was literally my two sons who decimated me. It was the one that set it up, and it was the other one that used the spell.
Yeah,
that was a
temporary character that night.
He played an NPC,
I played two characters that night.
They were
twins.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember the drive. It was me and the DM were going to go pick up another character. And he goes, "You want to play tonight?" And I was like, "I don't know. I might sit and watch." And he goes, "What if you were a villain?" I was like, "Okay. You know, make it an easy little fight for him. You know, I'll be nice." He goes, "Oh, no. You are not holding punches." I was like, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, no, you're not holding punches." I was like, "All right. Fair enough." I saw on the drive back with another said character in that campaign, I was just grinning. I was like, "You're done. You're done, buddy." I think at one point in that whole night, I had everybody down at least twice besides one character.
The barbarian. Yeah.
Mine, nobody expected. It was literally chance of rolls that shouldn't have happened, but did. And I haven't ever seen my oldest close to tears because it was just like, there's no way for me to fix this. I can't even, like, budge it.
I gotta learn how to play this game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
But like, the thing is so my character in this campaign, the Friday campaign,
yeah,
has been there literally since the beginning of this campaign.
When my mama played with us.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And that was four
years
ago.
Yeah.
When she was here, she played. So it started off as me, Miss Angel. Katie one of the originals? And her mom. It was those four. And then, of course, you know, people come in and out and, you know, change characters and stuff like that. Two characters have been changed in the Friday campaign because one got turned to stone and the other one died. My guy has literally three.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, three.
That's right. Triokin and the Thiel.
Yeah.
Yeah. My character, my guy, has been there, has leveled up. We started out at level 5.
I'm at level 13.
Started out at level 5, has leveled up throughout the whole entire thing, has gone down multiple times, has become this close to death, and been brought back from the depths of hell.
By my character. Might I add.
By your character, by both of your characters.
Time, yeah.
Both of your characters. And has continued to strive on. And then, something happens that I was expecting to happen at some point. My guy was going to change into something else. Because that's what he's been all along. He's just been this other thing.
Right.
So he changes. And it's like, oh, fuck. Because the person that he changed into, nobody could stop. Like, there's nobody in the party that would have been able to take him.
So,
I could.
Evolve, basically.
It would have been, if you would have been able to hit me.
The thing is, we could kill you, it's just we couldn't. It's like almost like a Voldemort situation, is we could kill your physical body, but your spirit or essence can't be totally killed.
Yeah.
Because I could have, with my one certain weapon, I could have just, whoop, and you would have had to roll a bunch, and it would have just been complicated. But...
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue comes this guy, and is like, I'm taking that piece that is important to your survival, I'm going to rip it out of your chest. And I just fell. And for like 30 minutes... For some reason, the echo device in my bathroom is talking to me. So for like 30 minutes, Alessa, stop. Anyway, sorry.
Stop.
All right, finish what you're saying, because I just got approval to go ahead with where I was going with my first comment.
Okay. So I died for like 30 minutes, and then I had to roll what's called a percentile. So you roll a percentile dice and a D10, and it, you know, they add up and whatever. I know you don't understand.
You get like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, up to 100%. That's
yeah.
what you're rolling for.
Yeah, but you also get 1 through 10.
Yeah.
You get 0 through 100 and 1 through 10.
Right.
It was literally a 50-50 shot as to whether I was going to stay dead or come back alive, because they were working on me to come to fix me.
Right.
I rolled a 51.
I wasn't working on emotions yelling at people.
So which means you died?
No. It was 0 through 50 that I was going to die. 51 through 100 that I was going to live. I literally rolled a 51. A chance roll by 1 point that I lived.
So, Alex, I ask you again. Do you have anything extraordinary news-wise that has happened this week?
We know. We just want to know if you know.
I don't know.
I know you know.
I know many things.
You know what I'm talking about.
Maybe.
Okay, so then give the fucking news. Go ahead. I will let you give the news.
So officially, Dan now officially will be known as Papa. Not that, you know, the child that came into our lives didn't call him Papa, but officially through his own DNA will be a Papa. And I will be TT because nobody calls me Grandma.
My brother's girlfriend is pregnant, for keep it short.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
So
I am now officially a grandparent.
He is a grandfather now.
It's about time.
I'm a TT. You want to know why I'm a TT? Because I am DNA-wise. That is not mine, and I will never take it away from the actual grandma, who is Alex's mom. That is grandma. So I'll stick with TT. That's cool.
Oh, Papa and Granny over here.
I'm not Granny. Nobody's Granny.
You just said you were Granny.
No, TT. That's the first one calls me. That's the next one call me. Out of respect for the other parent, I'll stick with TT.
Gammy TT.
Fuck you. And then we got Uncle Alex over there. All the uncles of the world.
Literally both 20-year-olds had the same reaction.
Yeah, one is like, I'm sorry, but I'm probably never going to be an uncle to that child. That's fine.
I've been there before.
I respect it. It's fine.
That is what it is.
I know that when his, you know, sisters someday decide whether or not they're going to have children, he will be all over it.
Where's brother?
Yeah, because he has a uncle, and his uncle has shown him what uncle should be.
I'll be sister fun uncle.
Yeah, he's literally got a blanket that says Funkle on it.
Yes, he's an amazing uncle, and he will be too, and so will Alex, when they decide to be uncles to whichever kids they're going to be uncles to.
Look, if I'm not allowed to say no, you're not allowed to say no.
I'm here for it. I just want to hold a baby. I just don't want to be like 2 years down the road like, oh, here you go. Nice to meet you.
Well, now you got to spoil them.
I can't even spoil my own kids. I've still got kids that I...
That's job. Parents.
You got to spoil that baby.
We got that covered. The spoiling will be done. Not by me.
Oh.
Definitely not by me.
What was your mother's reaction?
Yeah.
Same as everybody else's.
Okay.
I don't know that that's true, because I got to be the one that buffered everything and came in with that, oh my God, I'm so excited, because I saw shock on everybody else's face, and I did not want it to go badly.
No, she got a call. It was during Wednesday's show, actually. Told. I was like the second person that knew, just because I got sources like that. And, Wednesday show, I get a text. Ethan's calling me for some reason. I don't know why. That's weird. It's like, okay, I know why, but okay. And then, like, a little bit further into the show, I get a text, she's pregnant. So, like, yep.
We found out Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday or Tuesday?
Let's see.
No, it was like Thursday or Friday when
Friday.
We found out. Yeah. It was Friday because
yeah.
We were told not to tell anybody because nobody else knew. Which
oh,
is why I didn't
God.
Say anything on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known for a while.
Well, fuck, if I would have known, you would have known. I would have been texting you about it.
Was Mom excited?
As excited as she could be.
I feel like this is an off-air conversation.
Well, I will say that spoiling will happen either way.
She's
yeah.
super excited. Don't get me wrong. She's super excited for this joyous occasion.
Yeah.
Good.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Spoiling will happen.
Me?
Like the puppy.
I without giving away anything on air just yet, I'm going to be gone when all this goes down. So I don't got to worry about shit.
So did Dan tell you about his new addition to the family?
The dog?
Yes.
He saw the dog on Friday.
Yeah, the dog. The dog. The infant.
Yes, the dog that we got Thursday. Yes. 8-week-old Chihuahua.
The dog that has now cost me a lot of sleep and a lot of messes.
The dog that I get to play with and take outside and cuddle with. And
yeah, well, your dad is officially on dog duty as of tonight because I've been doing it since we got the dog.
I can
yeah.
sleep tomorrow. I'm off. I don't care.
I've been waking up in the middle of the night because somebody had to pee-pee. And then snuggled it, half awake, half asleep, so I didn't roll on it for like 3 days. No more. Sleeping.
Let's be honest, you're not going to wake me up.
I'm definitely going to wake you up tonight.
I'm sleeping on the couch tonight.
I'll leave it in his sleep.
Well, that's something that happened this week. We got rearranged some stuff in our house, and we now have a spare bedroom.
I thought you guys already had a spare bedroom.
It was a gym. And then
the room that the Godfather slept in?
No, that's an office now.
Oh, okay, okay. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It that room when you guys were here was Ethan's room, and
yep.
then he moved out, and then he came back, and then he moved out again, and then we were like, "What do we do with all this stuff?" And so we moved stuff around, made it an office, and the smaller room, that was the office. We call it the blue room because it's got blue walls. We had some gym stuff in there, and then we moved that stuff out of there, and we went to, Mom was looking on Facebook and saw a bedroom set for sale. She's like, okay. It wasn't, like, expensive, so it was weird, and when we got there, it is some very nice furniture, and a lady was telling us, well, yeah, they bought it, and then certain people passed away. It was an estate sale kind of thing. And she was like, well, the people bought it and then certain people passed away. They spent like $3,000 on everything or on one thing and then another couple grand on another thing. We're like, okay. And she's like, yeah, nobody's buying it. We're like, okay. And I wasn't nosy with the pricing and everything, but it was $500 for stuff that was worth $3,000.
Nice.
I would have packed that up in a heartbeat.
Spare bedroom.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
I would have smashed that up in a heartbeat.
And of course, our bulldogs, being territorial, they thought the new bed and bed set was for them.
of course.
They did.
Yeah, they went back there. One of our, Louie, the ornery one, he went back there and threw a fit and went up on the bed. And he slept in that bed for like an hour and a half.
My bed.
Yeah. He has claimed it thus.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. We do have to take a break. because I do want to get into this movie for tonight.
Alrighty.
So, alright, we'll be back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost. And I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold. Cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, "Guess what?"
Talking about probably one of the most anticipated and heavily scrutinized movies in Behind the Screen. Specifically, what are you laughing at over there? Okay, specifically with me and Alex. Because when this movie was announced, Alex and I like followed it step by step by step throughout the entirety of its announcement to release. And we were going back and forth and back and forth. Like, oh, crap. Robert Pattinson is Batman. Sparkly vampire guy.
Yeah.
Is Batman. Like, how the fuck are they going to do this? And Alex and I went back and forth. Yeah, it could be okay. He might do all right. And, you know, oh, my God, this could be, you know, the worst fucking Batman movie ever. And it came out, went to the theaters to see it, and you and I spent the next 3 days at work talking about it. Alex and I spent 2 hours after the movie. The movie got out at 10:30.
10:30, 11.
Yeah. And Alex and I spent another 2 hours on the phone talking about it, and then the next 3 days over text talking about it.
Yeah.
It was probably the biggest shocker of a movie, surprise movie, in a very, very long time.
We didn't talk about it. I did not talk about it.
You did not talk about it. Because you're not a big...
I didn't see it.
You watched it today?
Today.
Yes,
I was about to say, I walked in and y'all were watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not a big DC... You're not a big DC fan at all. Like, you don't like DC. There are a couple of DC movies that you like, but you're not a fan of the DC
overall,
universe. Yeah.
The universe? No.
Yeah.
Super dark.
I'm
super shitty.
I lean more towards Marvel, but I have gained a better appreciation of DC through Alex because, you know, Alex got me into watching Young Justice when it came out, got me into watching Titans. The
shows are different, though. That's the problem that I have with DC.
I will agree with you.
The shows are super cool.
I will agree with you on
that
one. The shows they release for DC are really good.
They are. Like, nope.
Do they?
Wonder Woman.
Okay, Wonder Woman is for okay. Iron Man 2.
That's the thing though. Is both universes have their shit movies, have their good movies. You know, it all. Some
actually,
of it's whatever your taste is.
A Marvel movie in that universe that I don't like.
Dark World.
I was about to say Thor 2, man.
Loved it.
Captain Marvel.
Thor Dark World.
So close.
Captain
okay,
Marvel.
Okay, shut up. That one doesn't count.
Captain Marvel is
good. That's the only one that I was like, really? We already fucked it up with Wonder Woman. We got to bring Captain Marvel into the mix now.
That's DC, and that was fucking fantastic.
That's
the
only
best
movie
one.
That I really like. God.
Okay, so... Before we dive into this, I want to get everybody's opinion on it. I want Alex's opinion first because...
Absolutely.
Because
he's the fan.
He's the big DC fan. And him and I were both like... I think I was scrutinizing it a lot more than you were. I think I was on the it's going to be shit fence more than you were. You had a more open mind about it.
I was worried about it until I remember the day. It was like January 17th or something, sometime in January, and they announced the suit and the theme song. It was a red video of Robert Pattinson in the suit, and they played the theme song of the thing, of that movie. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, this movie's going to be awesome. Because it's not going to be like... It's not going to be how people thought it was. I feel like I think this movie kind of changed people's judgments on certain actors, certain directors, certain franchises. I love this movie. There are things in the movie that bug me, but it's not a thing with the story. It's not a thing with the actors. There's just some things in there that are like, they could have done this better, or they should have done this differently. I don't know. They got this down to a T. Like, I got to give props to Robert Pattinson, but then I got to shit on him. So props first. He played an amazing Batman. Amazing. he did fantastically in the stunts that he was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's hard to give facial expressions when half your face is covered, and the way that he just kind of, you knew he wasn't messing around. He was just on it all the time. And then he played Bruce Wayne. When I first watched the movie, I was like, ah, this Bruce Wayne sucks. This is a terrible Bruce Wayne. Then I rewatched it today. I was like, maybe the Bruce Wayne isn't all that bad. Like, it fits within the universe. And I can see how they could fix this Bruce Wayne. But it's not my favorite thing. Andy Serkis's Alfred, love it. I forget the actor's name who played, he did an amazing Gordon. Colin Farrell as Penguin.
Jeffrey Wright.
Colin Farrell as Penguin is possibly the best part about that movie if it weren't for Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman, fantastic performance. The whole movie just kind of went to, just whoosh. If you watch the Batman The Long Halloween, it's sort of like that animated movie. Sort of like that, but that movie was split into two. It was a bit choppy. It took place over a year. This took place within a few days, a week maybe, a week or two.
I think it was a week. It was a week.
Started the pacing,
on October 31st and ended on November 6th.
Yeah, the pacing and the way that they shot the movie was amazing. The editing, the fight choreography. There's just so much about this movie that was nailed. And it's, I feel like it's hard to kind of, you know, shit on it. I mean, Bruce Wayne, yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know, I love this movie. The comic accuracy was awesome. I mean, the suit is unique. It doesn't follow a particular comic suit. But just the way that the characters interact with each other and the conversations they had, it was like reading a comic almost for me. Yeah, Gotham City. This has been the best live action Gotham City we've ever had. Just the visuals for it. This movie had amazing visuals, amazing effects. This was damn near a perfect movie for me. Yeah, I'm biased because I like DC, and there's other opinions, but for me, this movie was awesome, and there's not much that I would change. I would have added in the Joker deleted scene, though. That might be an unpopular opinion, but I would have added that in.
I'll get to that. I want Miss Angel's take because she's biting her tongue right now. What was your take on this? Because you're not a DC fan.
I'm not.
You're not a Robert Pattinson fan.
I'm not.
You're not a big fan of Batman.
Not. My biggest issue with this movie, honestly, was the pacing. This movie didn't need to be 3 hours long. I had a hard time both, because we had to cut it in half. I had a hard time through both sets staying awake because it was very drawn out. That was my biggest issue with it. I don't think it needed to be that long. They could have.
Yeah.
Cut some of that in. It was too much. The music was super slow in it. So with the pacing being super slow and then, like, the environment and the music, like, it was very hard to stay awake during this movie. The fight scenes, yeah, they're awesome. They were amazing. But when you were in a fight scene and it was just these, like, drawn-out moments in the movie, like, it was too much for somebody with ADHD. Like, I couldn't focus on the movie part of the time because I was trying to stay awake. I will say, as much as I dreaded Robert Pattinson as the Batman, he did phenomenal.
Yes.
As Bruce Wayne, he was a greasy-haired, whiny person with black makeup on his face. It was gross looking. He looked like a gross Bruce Wayne. He did not live up to that. I get it in the story, whatever. But he looked gross. He looked unclean most of the time. He looked like somebody who refused to shower when he took the suit off.
To me, he looked like a cracked out druggie.
Yeah, he looked horrible, except for that one shot where he, like, cleaned up for whatever still kind of greasy, but like he just looked dirty most of the time. It was kind of gross. As far as Gotham goes, when you think about the comics and the cartoons, things like that, because Gotham is supposed to be dark, it was it fit that perfectly. It was incredibly dark.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem with the actors. Like I said, as much as I really thought he was going to do a horrible job in the role, he did not. It was a little wonky for me, though. Like, even Michael Keaton as Batman had a certain flair to him, where he, you know, even with, like, old school, because they kind of went back. He was more old school. He didn't have these big, fancy tanks and shit that he was driving through Gotham. You know, it was a souped-up car and a motorcycle. Like, it wasn't anything too fancy. I will say the flying squirrel moment where he hits a bus shot his parachute too soon was a little hilarious. And, like, dude, you're the Batman. Why did you do that?
Okay, so this is only his second year as Batman.
I'm just saying. That was horrible. He could have died. I did like Gordon. I thought that was, he was pretty, I'm happy with the way they did the characters. I thought the character lineup was great. Even though the Riddler turned out to be some nerdy kid who probably lived in his mom's basement, that was a little weird.
That's literally who the Riddler is.
Exactly.
Well,
that's literally who the Riddler is.
I don't know shit about DC, but he was a nobody who really shouldn't have been able to do all that much damage. But,
but that's who the Riddler is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A nobody.
Yeah.
Other than those things, though, I will say, as a DC movie, I loved Shazam. Probably my favorite DC movie because it wasn't what they normally do. But then when we look at all the new ones that have come out, we've got, Justice League and Wonder Woman, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This, by far, a better movie.
I'm itching to talk about it, but I want your take.
I think we got the same opinion on it, though. Like, whenever you invited me to go out there and watch it, I was like, man, I was just going to wait, you know, come out on TV. Wasn't really thrilled. We both thought it was going to be like another origin story.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's 3 hours. That's great, you know. Here's 30, 45 minutes of him dwell on his parents getting shot and all this shit.
Yeah.
No, another origin story. What do we see? Was it 4K, RPX?
It was RPX, yeah.
RPX. The scene where he starts to charge her up.
Did I not tell you about that? Yeah.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, shook the entire theater.
Yes, it felt like you were in the car.
Yeah.
As it turned on.
Yeah.
Like, to me, and I told everybody, I was like, that is 100% the best Batmobile that has ever been in any movie,
yes.
TV show, whatever.
By far my favorite Batmobile of all time.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not that, like you said, that tank driving down Gotham. It's realistic. I mean, sure, you know, minus the giant engine he's got strapped to the damn charger, you know.
But that's realistic.
You can
literally build that engine.
Yeah. But, like, that was, like, from that point, I was on my seat from there throughout. I was like, oh, shit, it's about to go down.
Well, and I will say, I'll give him that. A lot of their stuff with him was a lot more practical than souped-up superhero shit. Like, it was a lot
and
more practical.
And it still looked good. Like, the Christian Bale movies were practical. Like, you could see somebody fighting like that. But it was like, I like to compare Christian Bale to a boxer. It's like watching a boxer fight.
I loved the Christian Bale movies, though. They were the only Batmans I liked.
Except for now.
But this was, like, still kind of that boxer-esque. It was fast and hard, and he just struck with ferocity. It was awesome.
I do like the fact that, you know, like I said, it's not your average Batman movie. It's not like, oh, Joker's terrorizing Gotham, let's go stop him. He's doing the detective work. You're sitting there trying to figure out who the Riddler is. You know, you're sitting there guessing the riddles with them, too. Like, it puts you in the mindset of you're Batman. You're trying to figure out what's going on. It was a detective movie.
Okay. So I am very critical on Batman movies, especially the live-action ones. I grew up with Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton just out of pure nostalgia.
Yeah.
When this movie was announced with Robert Pattinson, I was like, nope, not going to watch it. Absolutely not. Not ever. Not going to see it. It's going to be shit.
I feel like we were all that way.
Yes. We went and saw it in the theaters. And I thought it was just going to be, like you said, oh, it's an origin story. We're going to have to see Batman brooding, and then he's going to become, you know, we're going to see Bruce Wayne brooding, and then we're, you know, and then we're going to get to see Batman and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be another fucking Batman Begins or whatever. No. Right off the bat, this was...
You're in
it. You're in it.
Yeah.
You know? And... So I watched it in the theater in RPX, and then I watched it at home. And yeah, it took me 2 days because we had to stop it in the middle so that we could go pick up the producer. And then when she got home, it was at that point where, because I had to go in early this morning.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to get some sleep, but I finished it today. Watching it a second time, I will say that a lot of my opinions of the first time have changed. Specifically, not for the worse.
Okay,
not for the worse. No. Specifically, Bruce Wayne. And Alex, you mentioned this. And I am in total agreement with you. When we first watched it, it was Robert Pattinson, great Batman, horrible Bruce Wayne.
100%.
And even you and I said that, Alex.
Yeah.
But when you go back and you rewatch it, this movie is probably one of the truest depictions of the split of Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Right.
I think there's only been a couple times, specifically in the animated, where they alluded to or... I can remember specifically one episode in Batman Beyond where they came out right and said that Batman is Batman first, Bruce Wayne second. The mask is Bruce Wayne. He is Batman.
Right.
And this movie, it hit home. That's who he is. He is Batman first, Bruce Wayne second. All the other iterations of that alluded to it. This one came out and said it and showed you 90% of the time he was Batman.
The other 5%, he was a little black shadow you can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on the motorcycle because he's switching from his bat suit to being, you know, just kind of a not being able to be recognized on the street. He's doing his detective work incognito as Bruce Wayne. And his depictions as Batman, or as Bruce Wayne, were actually a lot better than I initially, you know, than I initially thought. He played a good Bruce Wayne for the age that Bruce Wayne is supposed to be in that time period.
Yeah.
For the time period that he has been Batman, because it wasn't... Bruce Wayne stopped becoming Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne died the day his parents died.
Correct.
From then on, he was Batman. Whether he, you know, before he even called himself the persona Batman, he was Batman.
He was someone else.
He was someone else. Bruce Wayne died the day his parents died. And, you know, you can see that in Robert Pattinson's portrayal of Bruce Wayne.
I feel
you
like
know?
He said that in the movie, too. Like, I don't have time to be Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I don't care. I don't care. You know, I have to do this. I don't care about Bruce Wayne stuff. You know? And it was just a better portrayal than what I initially thought. The bat suit, getting a better look at it on, you know, my screen.
Yeah.
Is probably my favorite bat suit
I'm 100% agree with you on that one.
Not going to lie. It is probably live action. Live action. Because the animated are pretty much, you know, they're all kind of the same with some variations. Live action, this is my favorite Batsuit. By far. I love
I
the fact
that.
That...
I think I still prefer Ben's suit, Ben Affleck's suit.
I do like
but,
Ben Affleck's suit.
Was the Ben Affleck suit, though, where the heads look too big?
Which one, the metal suit or the...
His normal suit, like the one that he wore in Batman vs. Superman and then the one he wore in the beginning of Justice League.
The cowl did look really big on him. That was the only problem.
I don't know if it was his head, though. I think it's just the head-to-neck transition was just straight. Like, it didn't...
Too much neck.
Yeah. I think the Dark Knight suit, his upgraded, Christian Bale's upgraded suit, his neck looked real skinny.
Yeah.
And then his head, it was like
it's very
his head
hard
wasn't big,
it.
It's just his neck was skinny.
Right.
It's very hard to do it live action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And make it look.
Robert Pattinson's was pretty good. I'm not a fan of the cowl design as all. That's probably my biggest gripe is the cowl design, but it fits the rest of the suit, so...
See, I actually liked the cowl design because you could see... So one of the things that I liked about this suit, in other Batman suits, specifically Michael Keaton and the first Christian Bale suit, they couldn't turn their heads at all. They had to turn their body.
Well,
like,
here's the thing, though. Even Christian Bale said that. Like, that suit was painful to wear because he couldn't move fluidly.
Yeah. And he mentions it in either Dark Knight or I think he mentions it in Dark Knight. He's like, I can't move my head.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a, you know, throwback to Michael Keaton, kind of making fun of
that. It was a super uncomfortable suit.
Yeah.
Design.
Where, and that kind of goes back to where, like in the comics and stuff, where the cowl and the cape were all one piece.
Right.
You know, in this one, you have the cowl that comes in with the neck that comes into the suit. You have the cape that comes around into the suit, and then you have the big neck piece, neck guard in the back that, you know, guards the neck, and that's what I like, is the fact that...
Yeah, the cowl is more of a helmet in this.
Yeah,
And I've noticed he's always wearing a helmet or his cowl at all times when he's riding his motorcycle. Like, there's never a point where he's not. And that cowl is bulletproof, so... It's definitely more of a more militarized helmet than the past.
And it was one thing that I really liked about this one. Number one, it was not an origin story. I am so sick of the goddamn origin stories in both DC and MCU.
Well, it was also not an origin story, but it was also like literally the story was completely different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't take the route of
some golden child that, you know, was sent from heaven and somebody took away his life. Like, there was darkness to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a little bit of darkness to the Wayne name. You know, it wasn't, Wayne.
It was innocent darkness, I guess.
It was
still dark, but, like, it wasn't the Waynes that were the mob bosses doing the killing. They were just like, hey, this is an issue. We need this handled.
But when you go to a mob boss and say, handle this, what the hell do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although,
but,
I will say, their character placement for, what was his name?
John Turturro? You talking about Falcone?
Falcone was perfect.
Yeah.
He really did really well.
Which is interesting because...
He's usually funny.
Yeah. John Turturro is usually kind of a comedic actor. I mean,
he was really good.
Yeah.
He did. He was absolutely fantastic as Falcone.
And I will say, the drastic difference between the first Penguin...
Talking about Danny DeVito?
Between Danny DeVito and obviously Colin Farrell, which, like, what?
So you don't know until you look at his eyes.
Master of disguise? What?
Yeah.
Like,
he did great.
It was much better because Danny DeVito as the Penguin was comical at best and gross.
So it was very much Tim Burton.
It was, but Danny DeVito's character, even because I was young,
yeah,
it made me super uncomfortable,
yeah,
to watch. Like,
and that was the point.
But it was almost like as a young female, he made me super uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like it felt gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to have a style, but the Danny DeVito Penguin kind of went too far.
It did.
You can always have that Tim Burton style to things, like the Jack Nicholson Joker. It's got a Tim Burton feel to it. The Batman's got a Tim Burton feel to it.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Penguin.
It was gross.
It's Tim Burton, but it's like Nightmare Before Christmas Tim Burton. It's like
I'm
a horror.
I will tell you that Danny DeVito, and I love Danny DeVito, this is nothing against him, but that character was pedophile-like,
yeah.
And it was uncomfortable.
Yeah. I love the fact that them bringing in Colin Farrell as Oswald Cobblepot.
That was...
And it was nice to see a serious, like, darker, serious penguin. He was a penguin, but it fit because he was in the mob.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
he was
I don't,
a penguin
so,
because that's the name they gave him.
Yeah.
In Gotham, the TV show, Penguin kind of plays the same role. He's like the... He's like the grunt of the mobs, and then he works his way up, and he... Yeah. This whole movie, I don't know if you've played the Arkham games before, but the... Mm-hmm. It's kind of like these characters were ripped straight from Gotham. Or not Gotham, the Arkham games. Because how Colin Farrell acts in this is exactly how Penguin is in the Arkham games. He's serious. He's a mob boss. But people just poke fun at him because he's this short little ball. Even the Batman, like his suit, his demeanor is the same. This takes a lot of inspiration from the Arkham games. Even with the fighting, like I don't know if you've seen the jokes, but like it was Bruce Wayne gonna go see Selina Kyle after giving the Penguin the Arkham combo. You can do combos in that game, and it just this movie has emulated those games pretty well, and those games are terrific.
I gotta agree with Alex on that one.
I don't know about the
game. I've never played the game.
Really?
No.
Oh, you love them, baby.
I do
They're
like
fantastic.
The Batman in this. I just, if they go forward with Robert Pattinson, I hope that they improve upon his Bruce Wayne game because it was not there.
So you were gone when I was talking about playing. I'll make it short.
I was making sure that somebody picked the producer up.
Yeah. So one of the things that, so I'll make it short and sweet.
Yeah.
I actually liked his portrayal of Bruce Wayne. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Real quick. So the thing with Bruce Wayne and Batman is Bruce Wayne died the day his parents died, period. From then on, he became the Batman. He became vengeance. He became revenge. He became, you know, the protector of Gotham, you know, the Dark Knight. He didn't acquire his name until he became older in the training of blah, 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 blah. This movie really showed that split very well. Like, he is Batman 90% of the time.
Yes.
And when you look at Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne, when you're looking at him with the makeup and the, you know, the grease and stuff like that, usually he has kind of transformed out of the suit, but he is operating as Batman incognito, like
right.
on the motorcycle and stuff like that.
My issue was, though, like, the scene with him and Alfred, it was like a greasy, petulant teenager.
But that's who he was supposed to portray, because he's just now finding out about his parents and stuff like that, and he was mad. You know?
I'm just saying, his game could have been better. We look at Ben Affleck, and everybody made fun of him for his Bruce Wayne. This could have been better.
Like
I'm not saying he may be charming and rich and do all the things like George Clooney did, or even Michael Keaton, because he played a really good Bruce Wayne.
So the thing that you're comparing is you're comparing, especially with live action, all of these other actors that have played Batman, except for maybe Christian Bale in Batman Begins, is you're looking at these characters that have been Batman and Bruce Wayne for many, many, many years. And we look at Ben Affleck's Batman. He's been Batman for 20 years. You know, and he has... Ben Affleck, yeah.
Did you say 20?
Yeah.
Well, that's the age that he was.
Yeah, in the movie universe, he's been Batman 20 years.
Yeah.
Did I miss something? I also didn't really like how the closure,
there was no closure with him and Alfred. Like, did Alfred get better? Like, what happened there? Did he come back?
I mean, yeah, obviously.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Right.
Like, there was no closure there. I don't like loose ends.
Right.
In movies. And so that kind of bothered me when the movie was over, because, like, we never saw anything else with Alfred other than that very angry conversation, which should have happened, but still some sort of closure there would have been nice.
Well, we did get closure. We got closure at that moment because Alfred told Bruce what really happened.
Absolutely, but I would have liked to have seen him get out of the hospital and maybe a little bit of something.
Right. But you got to remember, it's only a week.
Plus, it's 3 fucking hours. I am saying, in 3 hours, we could have done that.
But that wasn't the focus. Anyway, so when you're looking at these live-action Batman characters, except for Batman Begins and Dark Knight, you're looking at a very seasoned Batman who plays Batman and Bruce Wayne.
True.
And even in the Dark Knight trilogy with
Christian Bale,
yeah, he does the turnaround quick because he comes back as Bruce Wayne and, you know, League of Shadows and Batman Begins, blah, 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 and he's forced to become Bruce Wayne and Batman. Yep. Right? He's Bruce Wayne first and then Batman. In this one, specifically, he is Batman first because he doesn't do the whole Bruce Wayne, you know, go out and stuff. And we did see a little bit of that. He's in the talks with the cleaned up hair and stuff like that. A little bit. One thing.
Yeah.
Literally one thing. This movie was literally to portray that Batman is Batman first and will always be Batman first. And Bruce Wayne is always going to be secondary. The city comes first. His job as Batman comes first. That is him. That is who he is and who he will always be. We got a glimpse of that in Batman Beyond, the cartoon series.
I do think, do we see Robert Pattinson going forward as Batman?
I think if the script was good enough and if you had, like, the same director and stuff, I could very easily see Robert Pattinson doing a trilogy with it.
I feel like he's already started, and they're just keeping it hush hush.
What do you think, Alex?
He doesn't have his headphones on. I think he...
Should I wave at him?
He's not looking at the camera.
I know.
I don't know why he doesn't have his headphones on.
I mean...
Alex.
I do think it will be interesting to see. That whole Joker thing was a little weird for me because that he looks gross. But so.
Well, you gotta keep in mind, he literally fell into a bad act.
Right. Like, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out if they move forward with that.
That's probably my only problem with.
But who plays Joker? Like, you.
The dude off Gotham. Or, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the kid off Gotham.
Hold on.
Yeah, actually, Alex, he probably knows.
Well, I can find it.
Alex, do you see them moving forward with Robert Pattinson as Batman?
No, hold on.
No, he's
ignoring. He had to come back in. Sorry. Go ahead, Alex.
What was that?
Do you see them moving forward with Robert Pattinson as the Batman? Because I can't keep taking any. Look, we've had so many Batman. Like, damn. Can we stick with one?
I do see them sticking with him as the Batman. I don't see them I don't see him being the only Batman.
I'm sure they'll continue with Ben Affleck in the DCEU.
I don't know. So, the Flash movie is being halted, production, because Ezra Miller can't stay out of jail. But
we talked about that this morning.
Yep.
Michael Keaton has been cast for that movie as a Batman. So has it Ben Affleck. And the Batgirl movie that's coming out on HBO. Apparently, this Flash movie is supposed to mess up a timeline or five, and is going to kind of reset things, and is going to take Ben Affleck's Batman out, and is going to bring Michael Keaton's Batman in as an old shriveled man in a weird suit. But yeah.
There goes DC.
I love Michael Keaton, but come on. That'd be like recasting Schwarzenegger as
Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze.
Jesus.
Come on.
I like that. What are you talking about? I was only kidding when I watched it, but you know.
Watch it again. I dare you.
It's so horrible. And plus, it was horrible then, but can you imagine it now?
I can't watch The Dark Knight again.
Oh, I can watch The Dark Knight all the time.
The only reason, that's something else that annoys me, is, I wish they'd create new villains. I'm getting tired of seeing Batman fight the Joker on TV shows and movies.
That's one thing that Alex and I talked about. That was one of the best things about this movie, is that it was not Joker-centered.
Well, I think it's really hard at this point. The last Joker movie we had was incredibly different, and to drag the Joker back into a Batman movie at this point
as a main character
would be
stupid.
Yeah. It really would, because I incredibly enjoyed the last Joker movie. It was different. It was weird. It was psychological.
Are you talking about
now?
No, we're talking about the Joker with
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Now if we drag the Joker in, What?
Yeah.
Can we not?
This isn't the same Joker either. This is a different Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is if they were to drag the Joker in, if they did what... So if they do a trilogy with Robert Pattinson...
Actually, it'd be the third movie.
If they follow along the Dark Knight trilogy, it's going to ruin the entire thing. What they need to do, if they make a trilogy, is they need to have the Penguin be the big bad in the second movie. If I continue from this movie, the Penguin takes over Falcone's operation.
Well, that's what the Penguin show on HBO is going to be about, is Colin Farrell's Penguin taking over the whole...
I didn't know there was going to be a Penguin show on HBO.
Well, see, I just wanted to...
Yeah, there's going to be an Arkham show. I can't remember if it's an Arkham show and Penguin's going to be the main character, or if it's a Penguin show and then they're also doing an Arkham series.
More TV shows that I'm going to have to watch, because I still have to watch Alfred and Gotham.
Universe.
Gotham, man, once you start, you're hooked. But yeah, I hope, and I mean, I could be wrong for saying it, but I'd like for the second one, the main villain, to be like Poison Ivy or something. One of the lesser-known characters that don't have a lot of screen time.
Okay, so I can kind of see that, but the thing that I would have a problem with is, so this Batman series, this Batman movie, is more grounded in reality. And a lot of, and that so that's kind of a double-edged sword.
Oh, yeah.
This
way without being too much over here.
Yeah. A lot of the Batman villains are a little on the fantasy side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously. Bringing in, Poison Ivy or Mr. Freeze or...
If you look at Catwoman in this movie, it was completely...
It really wasn't Catwoman.
She was
Selina Kyle. Yeah.
Technically, I mean, the whole thing with Mr. Freeze is, obviously you're not going to freeze infection out of people and bring them back alive.
Right.
But there are cryogenic weapons out there.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is if you bring in some of these more fantasy-based
I get what you're saying, yeah.
villains, it's going to ruin the universe.
The thing is, though, is you can explain the fantastical side. Like, that's the main thing about Batman's characters is he's a normal dude fighting other normal people that had freak accidents happen to him. Joker fell in a pit of acid, should have melted him, but it's that's the fantastical side of it.
Right.
Poison
he's
Ivy got mixed up
person.
With... She got mixed up with some chemicals and stuff. You can,
yeah.
If you look at the technology of the universe, I mean, he has a lens that can go over his eye and record things.
True. I mean,
I don't think these ideas are too far. Like, if they did a Scarecrow or a Mr. Freeze type thing, I don't think it'd be that far out of reach.
I can see Scarecrow in this universe easily. I can also see Bane being brought in.
Bane was good, but it could have been a lot better.
You mean Tom Hardy?
That's what I said.
I thought he said Tom Holland. I was like, Tom Holland is Spider-Man.
I'm not talking about Tom Brady either, all right?
Fuck Tom Brady. So we did get a little bit of that, you know, Easter egg right there at the end with the costume.
When I rewatched that, I was really looking for something. I don't think it's what we think it is. I quite literally think it's just like a nod or an Easter egg. Like, I don't think that's Bane's venom. I think that's just green colored adrenaline. And they were just like, wouldn't it be funny if we put this in? If we made his adrenaline shot green, just to yeah.
I mean, I can see
Bane. I don't think that's a hint at Bane, but I can see Bane coming in.
As long as they don't make him Bane from Batman and Robin.
Well, see, here's another thing you look at. Like, you honestly don't know what took place in the 2 years he's been Batman.
Right.
At the end of it, Joker's already in Arkham.
Yeah.
Who else is in Arkham? It doesn't tell you.
True.
So,
I mean,
like,
he could have already defeated Bane.
Exactly, and use his formula to make something a little, you know, less killable, work faster.
Yeah. He could have reformulated Bane's venom a little bit.
I don't know, because in the movie they mentioned, it was like towards the end, that might have been Batman Begins. I don't know, I watched Batman Begins last night. But it was tame, like Gotham was tame and calm. And then, I think it was the end of this one. He said, "I don't know if what I'm doing here helps. It's so far, it just seems like escalation." Even Gordon mentioned it. He's like,
yeah.
"Well, we get Kevlar, they get armor-piercing rounds. We get you, what do they get?" You know, I think the Joker was like a serial killer. I don't think he was extreme. I think he was just a serial killer that Batman caught first. That was Batman's first detective work that he pulled off. And then the Riddler was Gotham's first shock of stuff. Like the bombs, the flooding. I think that was Gotham's first like big terrorist attack with these villains.
Big first answer to Batman.
Yeah. So, I mean, you never know. I think it would be fun if they brought in Bane. I think it would be fun if they did sort of the Dark Knight idea of Bane working with Ra's al Ghul, but I think it would be interesting if they changed that up.
Because
all of Batman's problems in the Dark Knight stem from Ra's al Ghul, besides the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, Scarecrow was working with Ra's al Ghul, Bane.
Yeah, working with Talia.
Talia's daughter. You know what I mean.
Ra's daughter, Talia.
A lot of people are talking about that green serum as being Miraclo, which is really what they
use. Mirakuru. That's what it is.
M-I-R-A-C-L-O.
It could be that, too, though, because the show Arrow...
Yeah.
It's green. Mercury, that, you know, Slade Wilson uses.
Yeah.
So it's a precursor to, like, what Bane uses.
That would be a good one because, what was it? I feel like it was Batman versus Superman. It showed Deathstroke in there. And that was it. Like, the end credit. He's out there on my
yacht. Yeah.
That would be a good villain.
If they brought in Deathstroke, I would like to see the Court of Owls on the big screen.
I think that would be interesting.
The Court of Owls. The Court of Owls and Talon, or I would like to see, like, maybe the third movie. If they do a trilogy and they want to cut it off, like, they want to stop with Robert Pattinson, I think they should bring in Azrael and the Order of St. Dumas. It's another secret society within Gotham. And Azrael is supposed to be, like, the next Batman. He's like, when you're gone and not able to do your job, it's me. And then Azrael becomes Batman and starts killing people. And Bruce Wayne comes back. He's like, that's no. So I would like to see them do that in a movie.
I feel like I remember reading somewhere on Facebook that they are going to do, like, a Court of Owls movie or something.
They're doing a video game, Gotham Knights, that has the Court of Owls in it. And I think they're doing another thing with the Court of Owls.
It would be really interesting with Robert Pattinson's Batman. That universe
makes complete sense, too. Like, it's not that far-fetched to have a secret society of rich people in a corrupt town.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what they did in this movie, except it was mobsters.
Yeah.
Gangsters.
What I would like, honestly, what I would like to kind of see in this universe is it just being a Bat universe. Like, there's no Superman,
right.
There's no Wonder Woman, no Justice League.
Standalone,
Batman universe. You know, you can introduce Robin, you can introduce Batgirl, you can introduce Nightwing.
I think Robin's going to come into the mix at some point. I think the Mayor's Son is going to be a pivotal point at some point, whether he's a villain or a hero or whatever. I personally think it'd be cool if he was a Robin, but we'll see. Because Robert Pattinson was asked the question in multiple interviews of, like, what would you think of a Robin? Bear with me, this is a weird answer, but he said, if I had a Robin, it has to be a young Robin.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be young in order to be a Robin. And I think the Mayor's Son fits that bill. Yeah. Because I think if they do a sequel or if they want to bring him in, they say, well, the boy was saved by Batman 700,000 times, and he wants to help Batman. So he does whatever he can to track down Batman. Kind of like the Tim Drake story of he finds out who Batman is. He finds out who Robin is through these different clues. They'd have to do a time jump with him, but I feel like they could bring him in.
I would like to see a good live-action Robin.
Well, we're getting a Robin, or we know that there is a Robin in this post-Flash movie universe with Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton's Batman has a Robin in the Batgirl movie and stuff. There's a mural of Michael Keaton's Batman with the Robin, and they're looking for people to play Dick Grayson / Nightwing.
Okay. Because all of the other Batman movies Batman characters that we've gotten, the Dark Knight trilogy, Ben Affleck, and even when we look at Michael Keaton, we're not going to talk about Val Kilmer and George Clooney because those are
the good ones, bro.
Those are the worst fucking Batman movies ever. We really haven't gotten a good live-action, big-screen portrayal of Robin. I mean, Chris O'Donnell did okay.
And Robin, he did really good, actually. He's better than Batman.
Yeah. Chris O'Donnell was the Batman for Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. Or Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
He was Robin. But I want to see a good live-action big screen, Batman and Robin. Because it's always focused on Batman. It's always focused on Batman because it's Batman. He's one of the most popular DC characters out there. Probably the most popular, surpassing
Robin's right alongside with him, though. Like, in most cases, you can't talk about Batman without also bringing in Robin. Or you can't talk about Robin without talking about Batman.
Right. The only issue is...
what's Robin?
Here lately with the live-action Batman portrayals, we haven't gotten a Robin at all. Like, there was no Robin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the issue that most of these studios are having is, yeah, we'll tease at Robin, but we won't bring him in ever. It's like, well, that's stupid. It's like teasing Clark Kent and never having Superman.
Yeah, because Justice League had the perfect opportunity to bring in Nightwing. Because of Batman's age and where he was in his career, they could have very easily brought in a Nightwing.
The problem is, though, this is where I disagree with Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder said he's not bringing in a Robin or Dick Grayson. It's because the Robin that died in that universe was Dick Grayson. So there couldn't have been a Nightwing, and there wasn't a second Robin. Ben Affleck had one and only Robin, and he died.
But see, that's terrible, because we don't ever get to see that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. But if you're not going to use Robin, don't bring him up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
in this universe,
don't.
Batman doesn't have a Robin.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say. You know, you don't have to go into this big, long explanation of, oh, he died.
But at the same time, you can't say Batman doesn't have a Robin, and then Alfred say, you can't do this alone, Bruce. Who else is he going to do it with, Alfred? I mean, yeah, Alfred's a pivotal point in Batman's career. But he's got to have backup in the streets. Like, it's frustrating how they tiptoe around Robin. Because it's not like the bad part of... when the one time we had a Robin was not the worst Robin performance.
No.
It was bad, but it wasn't worse. Like, that's not what made those movies bad.
No, it was everything else. Chris O'Donnell did well.
He did well with what... yeah, with what he had, he did okay.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I really liked about this Batman movie was so many nods and homages to every other iteration of Batman that was out there. I'm a huge lover of the old original, not original, but the most well-known Batman series, Adam West and Burt Ward, 1960s Batman with, you know, the atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed, pow, kaboom, you know, loved it. So fucking campy. I love it. It is my...
crime outside of the building.
Yes. I love it. It is such a nostalgic thing for me because I grew up with that. That was really my first introduction into superheroes and into the DC universe because I've watched them on reruns on TV. And I loved it.
I grew up watching Smallville.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. The nods and homages to the original was, and I noticed them, the obvious ones, I noticed them right off the bat. In the study when Alfred gets the bomb, you've got the statue. The bust that's sitting there is the exact same bust style and look that Adam West used when he would take the head, move it back, push the button, the bookcase would slide in there, you have the bat poles.
Yeah.
This is the only live-action depiction, and the only depiction since Batman the Animated Series and that Batman live-action series of a maid. No other, it's always been Batman and Alfred, you know. In this one, there's the maid, you know, and Alfred has a higher status in this one
butler.
Than just the butler. He is basically the lord of the manor type.
Yeah, he runs everything.
Yeah, and then you have the Batmobile, which, and you can say what you want, is a huge throwback to the 1960s Batmobile. Number one, it's based on a true car.
Yes.
The 1960s one is based on the 1966 Ford Futura frame. It was a concept car that was never in production, but they actually did build it for a car show. Number two, the old Batmobile, the 1960s Batmobile, had the big jet engine in the back. So did this one.
Yep.
You know, there were so many nods. And like Alex, you were saying, this is basically taken straight from the Arkham games, the Long Halloween,
the
comics. It's such a blend and mixture of every iteration of Batman that we had into this one movie, you know, and it was such, okay, I can understand. There were some kind of slow parts, but this was not meant to be an action Batman.
And maybe they'll pick up the pace with the action stuff, because this was Batman's first time dealing with a threat this big, and yet it's the Riddler.
Of this magnitude, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of made the turn the Riddler from a nerdy guy who wants to outsmart Batman to a domestic terrorist that wants to outsmart Batman.
Yeah, which is actually good, because...
Yeah, I mean, that's not
a bad
thing. Yeah, and this time the Riddler, I think it was the Arkham games, where it was like the Riddler is a joke to the player in one of the Arkham games. Like, you just go around, collect his trophies, and beat him up. And then Arkham City, you go around, you got to collect like 20 Riddler trophies, and then you get to the Riddler's lair, and like you smack him around a couple times, and he's done. But in Arkham Knight, he places 215 of these trophies and riddles that you have to solve, and then you have to fight him and his mechanized suit and his robots. The Riddler is the toughest fight in that game, because I've had this game since 2015, and he's still the boss I haven't beat yet. And they make it so, because there's a you play your game, and then there's the New Game Plus, of where you go back through, you fight all the villains. You don't have to fight the Riddler a second time in the New Game Plus. They don't make you do it a second time, because the first time it's already a big pain in the ass.
Right.
So I'm glad they make the Riddler a serious character in this, instead of just a, you know, guy stumbling around acting like a fool.
And I'm glad that they did put a lot of focus on the Penguin, too, because the Penguin is another one of the... It seems like what they did is they took these two major characters, major players in the Batman universe that were, for a long time, just a joke.
Right.
I mean, you look at... if you take a look at every live-action version of the Riddler and the Penguin, look at, you know, the old Batman with Frank Gorshin and Burgess Meredith.
Is that the one where he's sitting there eating the dead fish?
No, I was talking about the 1960s Batman.
Oh, okay.
Who played Riddler and Penguin, respectively. They're a joke. Of course, the whole show's a joke, but still. And then you look at Danny DeVito.
Two-Face would be a great character. I just thought of that. Two-Face would be a great character to bring in this universe.
He would, absolutely. You look at Danny DeVito's portrayal of Penguin, and it's kind of just gross and disgusting, which is meant to be, but it's like kind of over the top.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jim Carrey playing the Riddler, which was cringeworthy. Very, very cringeworthy. That whole movie's just cringeworthy.
Gotham's Penguin and Riddler were pretty serious characters in those. Meant to be feared. It's almost like they're looking back at their failures and successes and seeing what works.
And I'm glad about that. Okay.
Yeah, it's like they're learning.
I feel like they did take a lot from the show Gotham, though. That's where like 90% of it come from.
I'd like to mention is I love how they explained and showed the goons, the Riddler goons. They all dressed like Riddler. It's like it reminded me of the old Lego games when you knew whose goons you were fighting because they either had a purple question mark on their chest or they looked like a clown. Like, I love how they brought goons who are these dopey idiots that get beat up and made them serious characters. Like, they were meant to be feared. And I love how they explained it. They're his followers on social media.
Yeah. They made it more modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad they brought in the goons, and I hope they continue that because it's pretty cool.
Okay. It is about that time. Maybe if I can get something played.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
All right. We are down to the last 23 minutes of the show. I want to go ahead and get the final act in. Miss Angel has actually been the quietest this show, which is surprising.
She's watching
surprising it. You didn't have any fun facts laid out for us.
I don't have anything to look some tech stuff on.
Fun fact.
It's on a video call.
Stuff.
Fun fact.
We also have tablet.
Robert Pattinson hid a vape in his utility pouch during the filming of the movie.
Huh.
Also, another fun fact, the parachute thing, or the squirrel suit, was done with practical effects.
I believe that.
His cape inflates like a emergency raft, inflates and comes around him, and he like suits up, and like, yeah, you've seen it in the movie. But that was done practically, in multiple shots, but it was done practically.
Huh, neat. Okay, Miss Angel, what did you like about the movie? What did you not like about the movie? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
What did I like about the movie? I did love the casting. I also thought Gotham was pretty spot on. It wasn't Tim Burton-y and it wasn't, you know, like the Christian Bale movies because those weren't very dark. You know, when you look at Justice League, it's still not overly dark. When we look at Ben Affleck's Gotham, this was a really dark movie. Everything in it was dark. And most of the shots were really dark. Like, everything was dark. It was the Gotham.
Yeah.
I was very pleased with who they cast in the movie. I thought the characters were pretty spot on. I liked the idea of the story. It was kind of a fun moment when, you know, she became Catwoman. I thought that was pretty cool. What I didn't like about the movie is just that, and maybe watching it again will be different, but I really just felt like it dragged on in a lot of parts, not just like the beginning, but there were a lot of parts that I just...
We'll have to take like a day and watch it during the day.
Yeah.
And
I'll stay awake.
Yeah, and watch it all the way through because then it won't seem as long.
It felt horribly long. My personal opinion is I really just didn't like Robert Pattinson as
Bruce Wayne.
And I've seen a lot of
understandable.
I don't know. The constant black eyes and greasy hair was just gross.
I like how they visualized it.
Yeah. I just really wanted to shower.
Even Alfred said, you ought to take a shower. You got, you know, tax
you got
people
coming
here.
Over.
Yeah. I did love Alfred, though. I like that guy. I think he made a great Alfred.
I love Andy Serkis. Yeah.
So far in those Batman movies, I haven't hated the Alfred.
Yeah. Alfred's been spot on.
It's kind of hard to hate Alfred.
It is.
This is very true.
I absolutely know I miss pieces.
Yeah.
Because of interruptions or stopping the movie or whatever. So I would watch it again. And I would recommend it, especially to people who do like Batman. Like, surprisingly, I was not hugely disappointed in Robert Pattinson and Batman. He did really well. He definitely did better than Ben Affleck. And so there's that. Everybody wouldn't watch that. Watch this.
That's sacrilege in this studio.
I'm just saying. He couldn't have done worse than Val Kilmer.
I'm going to deem it now. I don't think it's sacrilege. It's a bit disappointing, but I don't think it's sacrilege.
Ben Affleck, I don't think, was a horrible Batman, but I do think that surprisingly.
I would not say
Robert
Ben Affleck
Pattinson
at this point.
Better.
I would not say Ben Affleck is number one.
No, I'm not saying number one. I'm saying he didn't do horrible.
I think he got knocked down from the number one spot.
Well, here's the thing that I realized watching Batman Begins the other night.
He is number one.
I don't have a number one anymore.
I will
appreciate them all, because as a DC fan, I'm lucky to have three, not one, not two, but three amazing live-action performances of one of my favorite characters of all time. So.
Okay.
I think they all have their own qualities. I didn't hate Robert Pattinson as much as I thought I would. I dreaded this movie for months.
I don't.
Did not want to see it. Not even the tiniest bit did I want to watch this movie.
But you were impressed.
I'm hugely impressed. I'm
That's
so
exactly how every single one of us in the studio right now, everybody, that's how we all felt. That was the very first thing out of our mouth was, I was actually impressed with that.
Yeah, like,
I think when I called you, I was like, well, I've got pie on my face for talking shit.
Right?
I mean, I think I did tell you this, like, the night we went to see it, that I never watched a trailer for this movie.
Yeah, no, you said, yeah.
Yeah, I never watched a trailer.
Yeah, you were like, I don't even know what this movie is about. I don't even care to watch it.
It's to be Batman. Fair, not one trailer did I also watch, because I had no interest. I didn't care.
Exactly, and then you watch it, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we were walking into the theater. It's like, I've never seen a trailer. Didn't even care. It's a free movie. We walked out, and he was like, oh, my God, that was fucking fantastic.
He's over here using the bathroom. Like, what car was he using?
Okay, Alex, your final act.
I absolutely love this movie. I don't think that's a secret. I loved it. I was happy with all the performances in the movie. Everybody did well. Kudos to everybody. Going forward, if they want to keep this traditional route, I guess, or realistic route, I would like to see a live-action Hush story be told.
Yes.
One of my favorite stories. It's one of the best stories of Batman ever told, and I would like them to touch on that. And it brings in multiple characters. There's multiple characters in that story that they could bring in. Poison Ivy, Killer Croc, a lot of them. What I didn't like about the movie, not a whole lot. The first time I watched it, I thought the movie was a bit political. I was like, okay, whatever. And then second time watching it through, I was like, you know, maybe it wasn't as... It was political, but it wasn't like shoving shit down your throat. Like some superhero movies have been in the past. But I liked it. There were some lines that were delivered weird. That's okay. The visual effects were fantastic. This Marvel, take notes, because this was a COVID movie. There's no excuse of why... Never mind. Beat a dead horse. But there's no excuse of why stuff should be bad during a COVID movie. Because look at this movie. They did terrifically.
I liked that.
And
special effects were horrible.
They were meant to be.
Thank you.
They were meant to be
horrible.
Oh, yeah, what about Black Widow? Black Widow is a bad MCU movie, in my opinion.
It
was. But
it was funny as fuck.
But
the movie itself was lackluster. The CGI was terrible.
It was out there.
The movie was bad. The special effects were worse. Back to the Batman. it was a great movie. Great visual effects. Great acting. And I would recommend it to all Batman fans, all DC fans, all superhero fans. I probably am going to watch it again sometime soon. But yeah.
Cool. Zach, your final act. Would you like about it? Would you not like about it? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
I love this movie. I mean, I know, like, we've talked about it for days. I've talked to my dad about it a lot. I've said multiple times, to me, it is the best standalone DC movie out there right now. Definitely one of the best Batman movies out there. You can't really say a whole lot of bad about this movie. I mean, there's just one scene in there, and we discussed it, and I know Alex touched up on it. When you jump off a roof in your little squirrel suit,
mm-hmm.
and you hit a bridge, going at probably about 60, 70 miles an hour, and you get up and you walk like you broke your leg.
Like he literally hit his head.
Yeah.
That could have snapped his neck.
Either you should have died or you should have spit some teeth out. You did not hurt your leg on that bridge.
Yeah.
That was
probably the most unrealistic part of the entire movie.
It was funny, though.
It was hilarious. It was the funniest part.
That's the thing, though. It's a superhero movie. We don't have people jumping off of buildings in squirrel suits with a bat cowl on. If they do, they don't soar through the sky. They go all the way down and smack the ground.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've seen a dude in Oxford the other day, dude. But no, I mean, like, I really love this movie. And yes, I would 100% recommend it to anybody and everybody, whether you're a DC fan, Batman fan, or just looking for a good movie to watch. It's fan-fucking-tastic. Like I said, my favorite scene, and I could probably watch it 100 times in a row and still get goosebumps, is the Charger scene.
Yeah.
The Batmobile scene.
Yeah. That's,
there's so many scenes like that in this movie, though.
Yeah.
I know. It's hard to think.
Like, the arena scene, I get giddy every time I see it. Just the do-do-do-do-do-do, and he drops in and I kick that.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Club scene. I didn't realize it, but it made me laugh. He took the bat and he went bonk, and then he got shot, and then he just tomahawked through the bat at the guy, and it went boom.
That's another thing that I almost forgot to say, is the first time he goes to the Iceberg Lounge, and you got those two goons that are like, you know, the bouncers pretty much. Keep in mind, Robert Pattinson used to be a vampire in the Twilight.
Uh-huh.
The bouncers used to be werewolves and Teen Wolf. I thought it was kind of funny.
A vampire beating up on werewolves.
Yeah, because they did it in Twilight movie, and now they're doing it here. And he just did beat them up once. And like three or four times he beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were werewolves on TV show.
Jesus. Okay, so I will say, I had very, very low expectations of this movie. Extremely low. Like,
would he be here if he was going to watch it again or recommend it?
Yeah. He said he would definitely watch it again and recommend it to anybody.
Okay. I don't know about anybody, but...
Yeah. Anybody. Everybody.
Yeah.
little five-year-old, you know.
I mean, my 13-year-old.
A little five-year-old, and then he comes out of the movie, he's just, I'm vengeance.
Start beating up on the parents.
Had very low expectations of this movie. You know, that goes for everybody here. You know, half of us didn't even want to watch it.
I did not want to watch it.
And we
I wanted to watch it because I like Batman.
I wanted to watch it because I wanted to see another Batman movie. Wanted to see what they were going to do with it. And all four of us tonight were shocked and just completely at awe at how good this movie was.
It's like the studio went, oh yeah, we're going to take an actor that not many people like, and we're going to make the best Batman movie. And we all went, prove it. And they proved it.
I've seen so many memes where it's like,
pictures or it's not real. Here you go. Here's a 3-hour movie.
I've seen so many memes where it's like, the girl's had him for 8 years. It's our time, boys.
Right?
It's the boys' turn.
It's like they were sitting around at their table like, we have this fantastic fucking script. Who are we going to get to play this? And then some intern, some girl, some young female intern down at the end of the table delivering coffee was like, what about Robert Pattinson? He's
Matt
so
Edward.
Dreamy.
And then
around the table.
The executives were like, yes.
Love it.
Let's see what we can do.
This asshole gives you a golden star.
Right. But it was just shockingly fan-fucking-tastic. It was, I agree with you. One of the best standalone, if not the best standalone DC movies that I've seen. One of the best portrayals of Batman in a live action setting. Robert Pattinson as Batman hit the mark.
Directly home.
As Bruce Wayne, he played Bruce Wayne the way he was supposed to. This was almost a perfect superhero movie. the scene with the flying suit will be forever ingrained in my head. Anytime I think about it, I laugh.
There's your comic relief. You know?
Yes, exactly.
You think you're in a serious movie. Bang. No.
All of a sudden, here he comes flying
through. That scene was perfect until he smacked the bridge.
Yeah.
I
was like, this is a really good scene. Smack. Oh, they ruined him hitting that ruined the scene, but it added a bit of comedic relief to a movie that didn't really need a comedic relief, but it added it. And
it didn't detract anything from the movie.
Yeah, like Penguin was a comedic relief, but he wasn't like a Groot or anything like that. He was himself. He was just. It wasn't intended to be funny, but it was just funny.
He's a smart ass.
And then they're at the warehouse, and you hear it. You hear that engine start up, and then you hear those turbos spooling, and then you hear that jet engine come on.
Then the headlights.
And then you're looking
You see the oh shit look on Penguin's face. You're like, he's like,
yeah.
Oh, damn it.
Look, what the hell is
it's
that?
And you see the red in the hood, and then you do the 360 around it, and you see the fire just. And you feel it in your bones. And you're just like, this is what boners are for.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it just goes. And then throughout the scene, he's getting knocked around. And you're like, ew. And then he hits the fucking jet engine and jumps.
Through fire.
And fucking Penguin is driving. And he's like, yeah, I got you. He comes through. And Penguin's like, oh. And then all of a sudden, he hits that thing. And just and you're in the car when it flips. The camera angles in that scene alone makes the entire fucking movie.
That's another thing. The whole movie was shot beautifully.
Oh yeah.
Angles, scenes. I mean, like,
you're
as corrupt as the Oscars are. This has a chance to be nominated for cinematography.
Yes, absolutely.
And editing.
Yeah. And this movie just proved that American Muscle will beat Italian Engineering any day of the week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. American Muscle all day long.
American Muscle with a jet engine strapped to the back, and it's also all-wheel drive, and it's also bulletproof, and also basically a tank without being a tank.
But it's
so my body's got all-wheel drive, and it's fucking fast as shit, and it's meant to do that.
Modern Maserati kind of suck. But
they do. But
it's more realistic than a giant ass tank on six wheels rolling people over.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's not like the Tumbler going and then Commissioner Gordon just going into combat mode. I said my piece on that in previous episode.
Let me shoot a bike out of my car here.
Yeah. This movie was fantastic. It gave me chills. I'm about to lose battery power, by the way. I'm going to have to end my part of the call on this. I'm sorry.
Hey.
I ended the entire call. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. I'm still here.
I left the call. That's all right. I'm going to plug my phone in. Anyway, this movie gave me chills when I walked out of it. Gave me chills.
Yeah.
The only thing I really didn't like was the length. I mean, there were some parts in it that kind of dragged. I could see why they did it. They wanted to kind of delve deeper into the Thomas and Martha Wayne mythos, because we don't ever get that.
No, you just get boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
We don't get any of their history. It was a bit long, but it doesn't detract from the overall quality of the movie.
I don't know, it makes those cool scenes that much better. Like, you go through those cinematic scenes and dramatic scenes, and they're not bad scenes, and then you get to an awesome combat scene, just makes it that. It's like D&D. We go through these role plays, not that our role plays are boring or anything, but we go through role play sessions of just role play, and then we get to a combat, and it makes it that much better.
Yeah. I'd watch it again. I'm probably going to watch it again here sometime soon.
Tonight?
Probably not tonight.
I haven't had enough sleep due to newborn puppy issues to watch this movie again tonight.
But
I'm watching again tonight.
I would definitely... So I would recommend it if you're a DC fan. Recommend it if you're a Batman fan. Recommend it if you're a superhero fan. Recommend it if you're an action fan. Recommend it if you want to be blown away by the performance of Robert Pattinson.
Recommend it if you're a Robert Pattinson fan.
Yeah,
I recommend it if you're one of those single moms, true crime documentary enthusiasts.
Yeah. If you have gone this whole time and you're like, no, I refuse to watch it because Robert Pattinson sucks, watch it. Seriously, take the time to watch it. It is a fantastic movie. I absolutely loved it. And on that note, I've got 3 minutes left. I want to thank everybody in the studio tonight. I want to thank Zach for coming in tonight.
Thank you, buddy. Glad to be here.
Definitely want to thank Alex for joining us tonight.
It was a good show.
And I want to thank Miss Angel for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Are we having a show on Wednesday, Alex?
Most likely.
Alrighty. I know Falling from Grace is on hiatus right now. Still in the lineup, on hiatus, still working some things out. With that being said, support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, please, 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 be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast, every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Nobody Know. On behalf of Wiki Curiosity Media and all of my hosts, I want to say I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Go spend some time with your family. Go love on them. Go love on your newborn puppies. Go have some fun.
Go watch The Batman.
Go watch The Batman.
You got time.
Yes. We didn't do all the spoilers. I mean, like, we did spoilers, but they're not spoilers.
You'll forget
that's
about
the thing. There's not much to spoil about the movie.
There isn't. But go watch it. You need to. Have a fantastic rest of your week. I want to say a very early happy birthday to Zach. His birthday is coming up on Thursday of this week.
Yes, sir.
He'll be turning the ripe old age of 28,
27. No. 26. You really think I'm that old? I don't got any gray on my... It'll be
24.
To be fair, I didn't have any gray until COVID, so.
I didn't have any gray
until
I grew up.
No, because you had a quarantine with that one.
Yeah. Anyway, very happy early birthday to Zach because he will be gone. He's going to
Cookville
and enjoying some time. So, yeah.
Also.
Well, I was going to say that on Wednesday, too, but we'll do it tonight. Very happy early birthday to the producer whose birthday is on Friday. Yeah.
I'll be in the big ripe old age of 20.
Yes. Anyway, we love you guys. Thank you for all your support. Thank you for all your followers, all your follows. We love you guys. We do greatly appreciate you. Again, love you guys. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.